All right. Ready?
You ready?
We're rolling.
Hey there, everybody. It's Dan, the healing man. And we are going to talk a little bit. That'd be we, me and Dave and I are going to have a little talk today about willingness. What in the world is that? Here on the Most High Show. Ooh. Stay with us.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and the 12 steps. Produced, hosted, and posted by people in recovery who've been given strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
All right, guys. So today our topic is willingness. And even though we have to decline phone calls in the midst of this, so we can talk about willingness, that's a lack of willingness. I'm not willing to answer the phone. Anyhow, what we're really talking about, and there's all sorts of different ways to look at this idea of willingness. There's the thought that it means readiness or it means open-minded. But in recovery and in spiritual worlds, willingness plays a major role. How's it?
Yeah. Well, I look at it as when you say willingness, I see it as like how far will you go? Like how far will you go to get the things that you want? You know, are you willing to take this step or that step to, you know, especially in recovery, it's like how far are you willing to go? You know, are you willing to struggle? Are you willing to be consistent? Are you willing to, you know, go through the ups and downs.
So it's like there's a bunch of different dimensions in willingness. You know, there's this willingness to actually take action.
Right.
There's this willingness to embrace the information of recovery, which is kind of like thought action.
Yeah.
And then there's this willingness to have a goal or a hope or a desire, whatever that might mean to you, a vision that you can live a recovered life. How'd that come about for you, Dave?
I guess, you know, I was hitting bottoms and I would try and I would give up. So I'm like the master of starting something and never finishing it, you know? So I think a willingness for me was to just keep going. You know, when you get to a peak, how to handle yourself and like, what are you willing to do when you get to a place where, you know, you feel comfortable or, you know, when the stuff gets hard, when there's real obstacles in front of you, you know, are you willing to, you know, to face it and actually make an honest attempt to go through it?
Yeah. So we go through recovery, we get tools, we get different things that we can use. And it so often is true for myself included that, you know, I hit a wall, bump into something and whew, out the door it goes. You know, on my good days, I'm really, really good at expressing the different principles of recovery, especially 12-step recovery. Mm. And I'm very willing to live those principles in my life. But on difficult days, I like to fall to self-pity, weave in some self-righteousness that if it only was this way or that way.
Right, let doubt creep in.
Yeah, doubt. So, and the key, there's another thing right there, you know, how a willingness and doubt work against one another. Talk a little bit about that. You brought up doubt.
Well, I know for me is doubt is a big thing for me as far as like being able to accomplish anything, especially I get this thought in my head and, you know, it's, you know, I'm pretty fanatical. So I get thoughts in my head that are like, I already see this great goal, you know, it's like a dream goal of something. And when it usually comes really fast that things just aren't working out the way I thought them up in my head, you know? So that's when the doubt creeps in. And that's usually, you know, I have a habit of quitting whenever those things, you know, doubt creeps in. So, you know, in sobriety, well, in addiction, you know, when I would try something and it wouldn't work out the way I wanted it to, it was a great excuse for me to use again, mm-hmm. you know. So in sobriety, you know, for example, when my sister passed away from a heroin overdose right when I was in my second year of college, and you know, being in school was new to me, all this stuff was new to me, and it kind of like was all bombarding me, all these different emotions, ups and downs and all that. So when I faced that obstacle of like trying to do well in school or in my professional life at the same time and being a father all at the same time, and then you know, the like the devastation of my sister passing away. And I'm not saying it's the only excuse, but I failed a semester of school and I quit. I didn't quit, but I dropped out. You know, I failed. And I was really questioning if I was going to go back. And I really, you know, I put it in prayer, you know, a lot of talks with my wife, you know, I don't know where this is going. You know, I was in a really ugly place. And, you know, I sort of had that, like, look in the mirror kind of talk with myself. And, you know, are you going to, you know, David, you quit so many times, man. Like, this is, are you going to, do you have what it takes to, you know, to man up? You know, regardless of what your life is, what's happening in my life, am I willing to push through and try again? Because I usually don't try again. I usually quit when I see failure, or after I've already failed. And you know, I got on the phone with academic advising. You know, we talked things out, and I jumped back on it, still holding, you know, the hurt and, you know, all the other things that were going on that was negative. You know, I. You know, through prayer, I was able to push through it. You know, I was willing to get to the goal, at least give it another good try.
Yeah. So, you know, and when you're talking, it's reminiscent of some of the Eastern style philosophies of willingness, which is volunteer. Mm. You know, you can just take the word volunteer and sort of put it in there instead. And what's so neat about that is there's this other word that sounds like willingness, but it's called willfulness, okay. Full of my own will. And it drives us back to my own desires, just like you were saying. You know, things weren't working out the way I wanted them to. The world was to suit me. I was unwilling to suit the world. And this other idea comes about with willingness, which is blended in with doubt, and that's certainty. That when I cannot be certain of an outcome, I imagine an outcome, I want to project it into the world. And when I cannot do that and have it certainly happen, when I can't be absolutely sure of it, I develop doubt. And what's so great about what you just said, what I really loved, is in the third step, which is turn my will and life over to the care of God as I understand them. When you get into, for one 12-step program, there's a book that's got the steps and the traditions, and it says in there that willingness is the key, and that just the slightest turn of that key will crack the door, and the rest will almost happen of itself.
Wow.
So when I become willing, I'm not fighting anymore, and I'm going
not
with.
Not resisting.
Right, yeah. right. And it opens up this broad door, which you were just talking about, and I love how that ended, because when I do open up that door, the things fall into place, right? The ideas. Perhaps, and tell me, you know, a week before you decided to call the academic advisor back, was it even on your mind to call them back?
Well, I felt really bad that I failed, and it was making the bad things that were that was happening worse, you know. So it was like a heavier burden on me at the time, you know, and it was just like I just had all this negative stuff, and I didn't see my way through it, and I just wanted to go do something else. You know, I just wanted to do something easy.
Sure.
I just wanted to, like, you know, in my own head, like, deal with, you know, that loss, you know? So, but that, you know, failing in school, and it was like almost typical of like what I do, you know, and of what I have a history of doing. And, you know, it came to a point where I was, you know, it was just like the third step, you know, I was, I gave it, it was off of me. I gave it to my higher power, as I believe him, and as I believe him to be. And it's what really, you know, gave me like the courage to push forward, you know, to get to that next step, to even like make the call and say, hey, you know, I really had a tough time this last semester. You know, I really, and it was like difficult. Like, I'm not a math guy, so. That's one of the classes that I failed, and that was really like, man, I know I can't, you know, I just can't do it. You know, I'm not good at it. And you know, like through, you know, the guidance of my higher power and my wife just like pushing me and knowing, you know, that support that I got, that help, that it, you know, it's, I can't do it by myself, man. You know?
Couldn't willfully make it happen.
No, I couldn't not myself.
That's right. And you know what's neat about that, and I like what you're saying there too, is that this turning it over to the higher power involves following many different sets of directions. You know, the direction of the math professor.
Right.
The direction that may not have ever been spoken by your mother, but you knew she wanted you to be successful. The direction of your emotions, that you weren't feeling the way you want to feel.
Right.
You weren't living the way you thought you wanted to live, right? You couldn't achieve those goals mentally so much for will them into the world.
Yeah, that's funny that you brought up my mom, because that was really on my mind. You know, you get all these things. When you feel failure, it's, you know, to me, it's not just, oh man, I let myself down. It's like I have people that are like rooting for me and caring for me, you know, and like wanting me to succeed. And, you know, and those things kind of like put images in your mind as you're going through them. And, you know, so I would like see my mom, like I'm having a conversation. I can see myself having a conversation with my mom saying, you know, mom, it's just not working out. And I could see, you know, her face almost like, because I've seen her face when I've said stuff like that over and over. I'm fanatical about it. I drop it off, and I can, you know, then I can see her face, you know, as I accomplish it.
Sure.
You know, so.
So here's some.
I don't know if we're going. Are we going off topic of?
No, we're good. We're good. Okay. So we'll draw it right back in. So there's this other thing called willfulness.
Right.
And our parents or people that we really love, my wife, my daughter, you know, my boss, people that are important to me that have profound effects in my life, I have this really obvious set of things that I'll do that indicate I'm not willing. And sometimes I want to say I'm willing, but inside I'm not. And it's usually, it can be characterized by the phrase, yes, but. I'm willing under certain conditions that I get to define.
Right.
And that's not the willingness we're talking about in recovery. Like you said earlier, we're talking about an absolute willingness to follow a different set of directions.
Right.
That, which is amazing. So when I get along and I'm wondering, you know, why isn't this working? Why am I so frustrated? Why am I afraid of this person that I love that's important to me? Why don't I want to talk to them? But when I talk to them, I do things like shift the focus of the conversation somewhere else, or I blame outside circumstances.
I'm the master of that.
Right. It'd be all these things, or I indicate that there's an alternative that's better than what they want me to do.
Yeah.
And these are people that want the very best for me. You know, the great thing about the world from my perspective is that it wants us to be successful. I don't care what gas station you go to. They hope you've worked or somehow had the money to pay for the gas.
Pay for the gas, yeah.
And it doesn't matter what road you drive on. Somebody wanted to make sure the road was good for you to drive on.
Right.
There were engineers and architects and all sorts of people involved with that. The world is constantly working in my favor. From a very small perspective of my own, I can find that the world's not working in my favor. I can come to that conclusion, and I begin to blame, and I begin to shift the focus onto other things.
Twist it all the way up.
That's right. And that's my expression of not being willing. So what I hear you saying is that willingness sounds like an open mind, an action that's directed by somebody else, from a teacher, from a parent, from a sponsor, from a mentor, from your clergy, from wherever you might get it, that you're just going to say, you know, what I'm doing is not working, and I'm going to do this all the way. Tell me a little bit about times that happened for you.
Well, I know one thing, and I've learned this myself, is when I am feeling doubtful and I'm feeling like I'm not willing to take the next step, I do find those excuses, and I can come up with great arguments.
Yeah, of course.
You know, of why, you know, this isn't working out, and I can put the blame on this, the situation, the boss, the environment, what's happening in the world. I mean, I could use anything to become a great excuse, you know, to build my argument of why I don't want to do this, do any, you know, any particular thing anymore that I was like wanting to do in the beginning. And, one thing I found out is, you know, I talk about my mom again, but I talk to my mom daily, you know, you know, every day. And I know when she hears me start to complain, and I'll start it, and if my conversation is like all about me blaming somebody and saying this is why this and this is why that, and she knows that I'm making excuses. And I guess over the years, you know, through our relationship, she'll say, oh, I can tell you're about to quit it, huh? You know, or you know, she'll give it to me like
she knows
that,
it.
You know? And now, you know, from that, I've learned to, you know, if I want to do something and I'm telling myself I'm willing to do it, I got to take that complaining and those excuses, and I got to like not even speak them out.
That's right.
You know, I'm not even going to give it any chance to come into a conversation. Let's say you and I are having a conversation. I got to drive so far to get to work, and traffic is always messed up, and I can't see myself doing this for.
That's right. You know, and that's a great point, because willingness doesn't equal peaceful state of mind.
Right.
And willingness doesn't equal happy and joyful to do. I can't wait to get to a meeting and go through my fourth step. You know, it's not that at all.
Right.
It's that you're just going to work in concert with, but in spite of the thoughts and feelings that tell you not to do it.
Right.
That you're going to remain consciously open-minded, deliberately open-minded. The word rigorous honesty occurs in the program.
Yeah, that's a great word, because I'm just... You know, if I say to myself at the beginning, this is what I want to do and this is the goal I want to reach, I know now, you know, through, I guess, life experience that, you know, it's very few things that you want to get. It's going to be, you know, a straight line to it. It's filled with obstacles and confrontation and conflict and all those things that, like, resist you from pushing forward. So I'm more prepared to like just keep pushing, man.
Yeah.
And just keep doing it, you know. And I guess that's in the, you know, like, what am I willing to? I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Well, the beginning of what you're describing is that beginning point of real joy and real serenity. That willingness, even in the midst of turmoil, is what cracks that door open.
Mm.
And if you can persist in it and continue to work the steps and practice the principles of whatever recovery model you're working, you will find that an increasing quantity of peace and joy and happiness, a sense of smoothness, as the Stoics would say, a smooth and flowing life, that you can actually manifest that out of it. And it'll happen of its own. You can't sit down today and be like, I'm making a... That's not going to work for you. So there's this other side of another piece of this that's really interesting to think about too. And that is that when I'm willing... I begin to get that opportunity for joy. So even in the worst of circumstances, when I don't want to practice the principles in all my affairs, when I refuse my religious teaching or my higher powers teaching or my spiritual guide, whatever it is, and I have this situation that comes up, and it seems like, and I want to put a label on it, if it happens on the news, you know, I think it's unfortunate. If it happens down the street, I think it's bad. But if it happens to me, it's really bad, you know, and this is very serious now.
Right. Now it's real. Right. It's real. It's almost, you know, it's not affecting you personally.
Right.
So you can look at it and go, oh, that's a shame.
So I can find willingness at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, it takes sometimes a really solid beating by the earth. Mm. For me to realize again that it's all working in my favor.
Yeah.
It's a constant effort towards good, even when I think is bad.
Yeah, I think I think another thing that really helps me with my willingness to do things is, especially when it gets difficult, is inspiration. So, I'm able to, at least I make an effort now to be observant of people and things around me.
Like open-minded?
Yeah, I try to be open-minded. So I try to, you know, put myself in your shoes. Like, you know, when you're sharing at a meeting and you're going in there and, you know, your day might be going good, but you hear somebody with their struggles and you see them pushing, and then you go to another meeting and then you hear them getting over the obstacles. You know, I see a lot of people in my support group, you know, that, you know, friends and family that go through tremendous obstacles, you know, and we discuss it, you know, back and forth, what's happening. And I get inspiration from them pushing through, you know. So I see you do it, and I see your ability to do it or your attempt to do it. Then while I'm down, you're the first thing that pops up in my mind.
Sure.
It's like how hard my friend struggled, how hard, you know, my wife struggles, you know, to get through her days and do the things that are difficult to her. And it gives me that oomph to, like, keep pushing forward.
It's a beautiful thing about recovery is that we do lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in other people.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah.
And then our mind begins to get expanded by other perspectives. And this all starts with willingness. You know, that third step, you practice willingness the day you show up in any, at a counselor or rehab or wherever, for whatever reason. You know, you're trying to get out of a court case or, you know, your wife's about to leave you. And I showed up with both those things going on. Mm-hmm. So when I showed up, I was trying to get out of a court case, which was I ended up doing some federal prison time for. Didn't get out of it. Didn't work. But and my wife
was willing to try.
Yeah, my wife had let me. I'm willing to do anything, you know. But there are a set of conditions that that exist even for the most reluctant and resistant person.
Yeah.
That can garner this thing called willingness, and perhaps they'll open their mind. So real quick, let's talk about that just for a second. How has adversity, how has troubles in your life, how does willingness help you through problems that you have? How do you convert a perceived problem or something that's bad or something you didn't want to happen or something you didn't expect to happen? Somebody died, somebody got sick, lost some money, job evaporates, whatever the case is.
Right.
How do you think willingness plays into converting that to an opportunity?
Well, I think it's like I see things that are hard for me to do, right? I see things that are difficult for me to do, or I go through things like loss, or it might even be my wife and I aren't on the same page, and. And there's an argument, or there's like, I see things this way, she sees things that way, and then I'm confronted with my willingness to be open-minded and try to think, what she's going through, instead of like justifying what I'm going through, who's right, who's wrong, and when I get confronted by that kind of adversity. It's just willingness. It gives me that second to sit back, see what's going on, and instead of being, understanding that I'm in control of my reactions, at least I try to be, and it's my willingness. What's the big picture here? I don't want to hurt her. I don't want to. I'm not, my intentions are not to offend you or hurt you in this like discussion. So what am I willing to do to make it right? And that, again, I'm looking at the goal, which is I want my wife to be happy. I want resolution. I want things to work out the best way they can. If it might be a compromise or something, I might, be wrong. All those things go through my head. And, in my mindset now, I just keep doing it. I keep working at it. I keep a level head. I keep, a steadiness. Like, in my addiction and, and a lot to do with my personality traits is, my negative personality traits is that I go up and I go down and I go up and I go down. So when I'm up, I just, I got to push my way on you. I have got to get my thoughts to you. You've got to understand my point of view and you have to know that I'm right. Now, living a sober life and being in sobriety and like grabbing all the tools that I've gotten from, rehabilitative centers through, sharing, through listening, I try my best to keep it steady. And I think being steady and willingness kind of work hand in hand because it gives me that even momentum just to keep going and keep going and keep and finding that goal, seeing the goal and figuring out what to do and how to figure out to get through to what I ultimately want.
So willingness is sort of the leveling agent.
Yeah.
When you see adversity ahead, you stay focused on your goal.
Right.
And just remain willing to achieve that goal, which takes the up and down and levels it out quite a bit. Yeah, that's a really great point.
No, that's great that you said it because it ahead of me, the path is up and down. It looks like, oh, this is going to be really hard. This is, I might be easy here, but I see it evenly.
Yeah.
Regardless of how it hits me, I'm still going to stay even. It might take longer. I realize that things are going to take long. I have to exercise patience to get through things. And I have to be able to be eager when the time comes to I have to do it. I have to be quick about it to get, so I have to keep an even head through. I think that's a big thing as far as like accomplishing what you're willing to do.
Sure.
Is try to stay cool, I guess.
Yeah, man. Keep it cool. Keep it cool. So I was going to, just before we go, because I think a lot of points were made here and what you finished.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think you made some points?
I think you did. And one of them was to exercise patience, exercise. We'll just use that as another word for willingness. But I want to leave you guys all with this one thought. And that is, willingness is the key. The key to willingness is a lot like a key to your car. So if you think your feelings matter, you think your thoughts matter in the world, they don't. And just to prove it, go out to your car, put the key in it, start your car up. Tell it how you feel. Tell it what you're thinking. Shut the car off. Tell it how you feel. Tell it what you're thinking. Do that a few times. It may occur to you that it makes no difference how you think or feel. But what you'll notice is what you do absolutely matters.
Oh, I love
that. And the simple action of turning the key starts thousands of parts in motion that have the ability to hurl 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 pounds down the road at 70 or 80 miles an hour. All you got to do is use the key of willingness. Just be willing to get in there and turn the key in spite of and in concert with your thoughts and feelings. Well, thank you guys very much for sticking around with us. Dave right here.
Dan the healing man.
Woohoo! We hope you guys have a great day and got a little bit of willingness back in your life.